Hearts listeners, it's Bathrobe Spears Broadsides coming broadside at you on Free Radio Santa Cruz. 96.3 FM is our wavelength. What's yours? Give us a call at 427-3772 throughout the next 2.5 hours and join the discussion of civil rights for the poor. We're going to have interviews with Jane Hagstrom of Santa Barbara and other folks far and wide, plus a nearly full transcript of the last task force to examine the camping ordinance meeting, which was on Thursday. And of course, you join us. The usual packed schedule with a couple of treats. This being Valentine's Day, we're going to take you up to San Francisco, actually take you back a couple of days when I went up to San Francisco on Friday, and the Coalition on Homelessness presented some Broken Hearts Valentines to the supervisors of San Francisco. Supervisors of San Francisco are an 11-person body, seven of them, picked, hand-picked by Mayor Whitewash Willie Brown, who defend the current policies of shutting homeless people out of public spaces, giving the police more and more tools to harass them, and generally making life miserable for people who have no options but to be on the streets, simply because the merchants and some of the residents want to see them gone, no matter what the consequences in human rights and decency. We'll be going into that after we do an examination of the task force. As I talked to you earlier, they call themselves the task force to examine the camping ordinance. That's council members Crone, Sugar, and Byers. And give a little background to all you new listeners. This station is free radio, this particular program actually on the station, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. I'm your host, Bathrobe Spear Robert Norse, really concerned with basic civil rights for homeless people and for people outside on the streets. And one basic civil right, of course, is the right to be able to sleep at night somewhere, not everywhere, but somewhere, without being arrested or harassed. There is in Santa Cruz an ordinance which makes the very act of sleeping or covering up with blankets a $162 crime. That's called the sleeping ban. It's Municipal Code 6.36.010A. 010B is the blanket ban. And the entire 6.36 code is called the camping ban. And a lot of us have been fighting to terminate the sleeping and blanket ban sections of the camping ordinance, or at least to limit them, in order to restore basic human rights to poor people, given the fact that there are legal places for less than 20% of homeless people to sleep in the winter. That's on the floor of the armory, winter armory shelter. And then when that closes on March 15th, less than 5% in the summer. And we thought we had an understanding with the new council members, the organizations that helped endorse the Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar, the three incoming council members, said that they wanted the sleeping ban ended. Not the camping ordinance, the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance. something you wouldn't know even if you read the very task force's notes themselves. I just got their minutes from the long forum on January 25th they held, and they continue to mistake the sleeping ban for the camping ban. Even the people who are supposedly closest to the process, the staff who are providing the city council members with their information. So the whole thing has been confused in the Sentinel and confused around the neighborhoods and makes and has made people very anxious because a lot of folks are concerned if the entire camping ordinance is done away with, that there'll be people camping in the parks, which there wouldn't, of course, because parks are closed by another ordinance after dusk. Or they're afraid they'll be camping on their property, on their front yards, which they wouldn't, of course, because there are trespass laws. Or camping on the sidewalk, which they wouldn't, because that's a form of blocking the sidewalk if you actually start camping there. Yeah, I suppose you could sleep there off to the side if you really wanted to. No, but the point, of course, is that we want people to have safe places to sleep, or at least not be arrested for where they're sleeping if the city is too callous or indifferent or otherwise occupied to provide for us safe places to sleep, at least not arrest people for sleeping. And we suggested that be in non-residential, non-beachfront, non-downtown areas, so the neighborhoods could continue to maintain their gated, pristine purity, and the downtown could continue to do its business as usual, although people aren't sleeping during the day, and there's already a law against lying down downtown during the day, or actually any time. It's illegal to lie down downtown, thanks to the downtown ordinances. That's another ordinance. That's not the sleeping ban. So you could, I guess you could sleep sitting up if you wanted downtown somewhere. But if the sleeping ban or sections were lifted downtown. But we haven't asked for that. We've just asked for a very limited lifting of the sleeping ordinance in industrial, non-residential, non-beachfront, non-downtown areas. And the key reason, or the key factor here, the city council set up a task force to look at it. They didn't need a task force. They just needed to simply do it, particularly over the winter when the coldest weather hit, when there was completely inadequate shelter, and where under the direction of Mayor Byers, they took no action whatsoever to increase shelter. But instead of doing that, Byers quashed that attempt. She crushed that attempt by Keith Sugar to put kind of stricter safeguards on that. He didn't even actually recommend a repeal, but just a sort of a loosening, saying there should be a health and safety concern before a ticket was issued. She crushed that along with Rotkin and Hernandez and Matthews and Fitzmaurice, and the whole thing became put off until February. Well, here we are in February. Homeless people are getting beaten up by what's called trollbusters, young thugs who go around kicking homeless people for sport awake. And we have a situation where people are unsafe. An older woman was so assaulted a week and a half ago. And we've had reports, again, some of them anecdotal, some of them direct, of 8 or 9 beatings of homeless people, kickings, beatings, terror, essentially, hate crime against the poor, all of which, of course, could have been dealt with if there had been some kind of a safe sleeping area set up, or if the sleeping ban had been lifted in certain sections of the city. And the reason for that is, if it's lifted, then one, women don't have to be afraid to file complaints with the police because they don't have to worry about having warrants out for their old sleeping tickets. They can sleep in well-patrolled areas because the police are their friend and not the people looking to give them $162 tickets. And they can also sleep in safe groups. There's plenty of reasons to lift it. I kind of run through this very quickly because I've said this so many times before, but for those of you who are new, that's really the lowdown. We're not talking about lifting the camping ban and inviting a million people to Santa Cruz. We're talking about people who live here, people who have to sleep here, people who are poor, most of whom come from the city and the county here. They need legal places to sleep, or at least not to be arrested for sleeping. I mean, that's sort of like basic U.S. Constitution, U.N. Declaration of Human Rights, Geneva Accord, Judeo-Christian principles, you name it, common sense, I don't know, whatever you want to say, there it is. But the city council, even those fine new progressive city council members, Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar, have not yet seen fit to stand up and say in a strong, unequivocal, and consistent way, people have to sleep. That should have been how every single session of this little task farce, force, the farce actually, but they call themselves the force, should have opened its meetings. Christopher Crone, after Mayor Byers Christopher Byers should have said, the right to sleep is a basic human right. The city council made that assertion on December 8th. Actually, it did make that assertion at the behest of Christopher Crone. And he's to be applauded for that particular assertion. Of course, they didn't do anything else, like make it legal for people to sleep. That might be going a little too far. So they have this crazy schizophrenic kind of policy statement where it's a right to sleep, but you'll get arrested if you do it. I mean, you figure that one out, or classically, go figure. They should have opened every meeting by saying, sleeping is a basic human right. How can we deal with that here in Santa Cruz and not create problems? How can we deal with that and make sure all elements of the community at least have some input into it? But how can we, as a fundamental, deal with the right that people have to sleep at night? People in homes have the right. People outside also have to have that right if there is no shelter particularly. And Crown didn't do that. And Sugar didn't do that. And Byers didn't do that. Nobody did that who was on the city council. And as a consequence, they talked about the vague, amorphous thing called the camping ordinance, which talks about camping. And I would have to say, mainly, it's concerned with survival camping, and I would like to say that people should have a right to camp in certain areas, too. Because when it's raining and cold, you need more than a sleeping bag to get out of the rain. You need to have a tent. You need to have some way to survive and shelter yourself. The society does not have the right to command you to commit suicide, to make you sick, to make you ill. They do not have that right. Santa Cruz community does not have that right, and individuals, in order to make sure that Santa Cruz community doesn't go too far off the mark here, have to assert their own rights. That's the only way that these kinds of changes happen when the bad road, well, we had a long bad road for a long time, but when the bad road is followed. So you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, as I said, Bathrobes Pierre Robert Morse, bathrobe for the tattered blue, baby blue bathrobe, and my teddy bear. Actually, Edwina hasn't been out much. It's been another little teddy bear that I carry around with her button and the sleeping band in an attempt to get publicity for the realities that sleeping is something which actually is kind of a tender, an intimate, an important, a familial thing almost, something that you wouldn't want to deny people, but that most urban jurisdictions, well, some urban jurisdictions, San Francisco particularly, and Santa Cruz are now doing. Bathrobes Pierre is, that's the name I use, sort of as a joke and sort of as a tool for getting attention to the issue. And what we're going to do, I've kind of tried to update you on this, what we're going to do is listen to a lot from the last task force meeting. And I've told you generally why this task force is failing. It's because they have no will to put the real issue forward, to say to everybody, look, we're not talking camping, we're talking sleeping, and sleeping is a human right, and we're committed to that, so what do you suggest? That isn't being done. And as a consequence, they've gotten a lot of bigoted statements from neighborhoods and businesses, and they sort of sit there and nod, and Catherine smiles and nods and smiles and nods. But you don't have a lot of education going on, and what you really have is this little task force building up its record so they can turn down any real changes. I thought this was going to happen originally. I said so. I expressed my apprehensions about that. I expressed my apprehensions that homeless people were not being allowed to participate because there was no suspension of the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance while this was going on, so homeless people could actually legally be a part of it and not be afraid of warrants. There should have been an amnesty for warrants while this was happening. That hasn't happened. And last week, on one day in court, I believe it was Thursday, could have been the day before, there were five, count them, five people up for failures to appear on 6.36 violations, sleeping or camping violations, and those are misdemeanors. Misdemeanors, by the way, which referee Mulligan, the judge who hears these cases, was lying to the public about and lying to the victims by saying you can't have a jury trial. These are infractions. They're not. For all of you who happen to get into failure to appear, they are misdemeanors. Demand a jury trial, and keep demanding it even when he says no. That's my advice to you. It's hard to do when you're standing up in front of a guy dressed in black robes who's masquerading as a judge, but it's important. Anyway, their camping tickets, the sleeping tickets, are all appearing again and again. They're coming up in numbers from the past. The homeless were not invited to these sessions, really, in any real way. I mean, they were told, sure, come to the sessions. But, and Byers has allowed extensive oral communications on these sessions, but the real changes that would allow them to come, to have a safe place to sleep at night so they really could come and be a part of the dialogue and have a motivation to, because the safe place would end when the dialogue was over. We suggested just a temporary suspension of the ban. so that the homeless could participate. That was not allowed. So there was a real question as to the sincerity of this group to begin with. Buyers began by talking to police and merchants, having secret meetings with private meetings with rump neighborhood groups that were already opposed to any changes, no matter what, like the downtown neighbors steering committee headed by William Rubel. So there was real problems. But we continued to say, look, let's give them their chance. Let's give them their chance. Some of us did anyway. And the rest of us were critical all along. Some people just didn't participate in the process much except to ridicule it and to speak about the fact that, yeah, tonight people are still out there sleeping. What are you doing? And, of course, the answer was they weren't doing anything. They were providing a cover job for the three new council members who had promised to do something. Now they can say, oh, well, we investigated it. We did something, and that's what we did, which was, well, what we're now going to talk about. On February 1st, Catherine Byers came back with her statement that this was the time they were supposed to begin actually talking about the language of changing the ordinance on February 1st. What specific language changes would they be talking about? This is where they would show their hand. Byers announced that there would be no changes in the sleeping sections of the ordinance, as far as she was concerned. And she acted like she was speaking for the whole group. And Crone and Sugar sat silent while this happened and kind of made a few murmuring noises, but they didn't present a minority position by saying, well, Catherine thinks this way, but we think the other way, because we believe sleeping is a human right. After all, the city council did pass that. This doesn't certainly sound like sleeping is a human right if you can still be arrested for sleeping just because of your economic status, just because you're unfortunate enough to have no place to sleep, even if you're doing nothing else criminal. They didn't stand up and say that. They didn't say, we want to have a minority report on this issue. Nothing like that was done. So there was outrage and despair on the first. Sandy Brown quit the meeting. She's a CAB representative, or a CAB person, Community Action Board, part of the Shelter Project, and who's been working with this issue for a long time. She felt it was utterly bogus. She was very close to the one of the campaigns. I think she was Fitzmaurice's campaign manager. It was really sort of a sad situation. It is a sad situation, and it's good that people of integrity are saying, no, we're not going to have anything to do with this crap. So and then there was another task force meeting last week. It was actually the following Monday, and there was more garble about the language. They're making a pretense of dealing with the language of the ordinance, but they're not doing anything substantive. And I said, look, rather than consider a bunch of tiny, tiny changes, like change the hours from 8 hours when it's criminal to sleep to only 4 hours, it's only going to be criminal from 2 to 6:30, or some such thing if the language is passed, and making a misdemeanor a little harder to put down, making the fine somewhat less, all these sort of, you know, we're doing something kind of measures which aren't really dealing with the issue. Do you have a right to sleep? If there's no shelter, what are you going to do? That issue is not being confronted. And because of that, I suggested, and I believe I got agreement from Byers, although there's some dispute on this, and we're going to have to listen to the tapes to find out, that she would consider the sleeping ban repeal ordinance language, at least talk about it. The sleeping ban repeal ordinance is the ordinance that got 3,000 signatures from registered city voters last year. That is, people who have a certain amount of permanence here, at least long enough to register to vote. They are in the city. A lot of them have homes. A lot of them are renters. They felt it was wrong to arrest people for sleeping, and they wanted that put on the ballot for a vote. Well, every organization that endorsed the candidates, or at least most of the organizations, SCAN, Santa Cruz Action Network, WILF, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, CAB, Community Action Board, Peace and Freedom Party, Green Party, the Rascals up at UCSC, a whole bunch of groups, who endorsed these three new winning candidates who won a landslide at the city council last autumn, also endorsed this sleeping ban repeal initiative. And we asked that the repeal language be talked about, for heaven's sake. 3,000 people voted for it. Let's have they voted for it by signing up for it. Let's have some discussion, at least in this little task force meeting. Well, Byers said okay, but then on the last task force meeting, which was on Thursday, on the 11th, and we're going to be playing that meeting shortly, she turned around and said, nope, we're not going to talk about it at all. And a lot of us are wondering why that is. And, of course, she had said, well, I oppose any of those changes, and the other people aren't going to bring it up, so we're not going to talk about it. But it seems kind of strange. It seems as though they don't want to confront the basic question of sleep. that is something they will not talk about. Perhaps they're ashamed to talk about it. Anyway, the members of the audience, eloquent, articulate, outspoken, do talk about it. And we're going to play that February 11th meeting of the task force to examine the camping ordinance, which met on the second floor of the library at 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. It's not that there isn't some kind of response happening. We had a press conference, those of us who are in the coalition to end the sleeping ban, the coalition to fight this craziness. We had lawyers saying they were going to challenge it. We had all organizational representatives from the different groups saying, what is our city council doing? So there is some protest rousing. There is some stuff happening today downtown in front of New Leaf. If they're not rained out today, there's going to be a protest against the city council's abusive determination to keep the homeless criminalized in Santa Cruz at night, 2 o'clock in front of New Leaf today. At 12 o'clock tomorrow on Monday, there's going to be a big puppet demonstration in front of New Leaf. The puppets are these huge 12-foot high kind of puppets. It's going to be a big skit and a show, and everyone's invited to come to that. Next Thursday at 4 o'clock, the task force has its final meeting. And finally, the Tuesday after this coming Tuesday, on the February 23rd, is going to be the city council meeting where they do the deal and they euthanasize any attempt to change the sleeping ordinance in any significant way. And I think everyone should show up at that and tell them exactly what we think. In fact, maybe we should all just simply sleep in their city council until they find some other adequate shelter for people to sleep in, which they don't have right now. But they want to still, in their arrogance, in their bigotry, in their cowardice, and what else does one call it? In their foolishness, they want to make it criminal for people even to try to shelter themselves or sleep outside. So let's hear some stuff from the task force. And we're going to be, again, tuning in at 4 o'clock last Thursday. And I believe the first voice you're going to hear, well, let's see who it is. And I'll tell you who that is. I'm going to be kind of interrupting the tape at intervals. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. And the phone number here, should you wish to make comments, and I will try to stop the tape at a suitable point if you call in. The phone number here is 427-3772. 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. 427-3772.
Attempted to vote itself into isolationism.
Oh, looks like we put on the wrong tape there. That's actually another thrilling, exciting aspect of this whole thing. That's going to be Steve Hartman, a conservative KSCO commentator, who is talking about why he favors the current camping ordinance. But I think rather, before we get into that stuff, we're going to go with the task force. This is the right tape this time, I hope.
Robert asked you, repealing the sleeping ban. It's my opinion, when hearing your response, it felt like to me that you were, going into the timelining of your decision and the mechanisms of it, but you never really answered why. And I would like you to do that today, if you wouldn't mind.
The reason they have this camping ban in this town is because they say there's adequate shelter facilities. I'd like to tell you that's a bunch of crock. They do have church groups, and if I want to go to the women's church group, which there is only one church, I can do that. But about over 100 people are sheltered at the armory. What they do is they wake you up at 5 in the morning. You are forced to go out into the cold. Now, it's an impossible situation for a person to go out, look for work, and find work, and then still have to deal with those circumstances of getting woke up at 5 in the morning and go out in the cold. So as far as the homeless people being adequately sheltered, I'm sorry to say that that's not happening, and everyone just seems to be ignoring that. I don't understand how you expect homeless people to get themselves out of their out of this situation if they are not able to get employed. And a person cannot get employed under those circumstances. And, you know, I'm going to go back to camping is what I'm going to do because, and with camping ordinance or no camping ordinance, because I cannot mentally, and I'm clean and sober, I've been clean and sober for 3 months, I cannot mentally deal with that situation and try to find work and get out of this homeless trap that I'm in. And so, you know, and it seems to just be A-okay with everybody what's happening to these homeless people. And what you're doing is you're allowing a situation to continue by forcing them to go to the armory. You're allowing the homeless situation to continue. Those people are they don't have much, what can I say? They don't have much of an ability to remain calm because they're tired. They're not getting their sleep. It's just an impossible situation. You can't expect a person to perform normally under those conditions. So it really bothers me. It really, really bothers me when the city council tells this town and tells the police that we're being adequately sheltered when we are not being adequately sheltered. And I really think that you need to, you know, dropping the fines for the camping bans, fine, you know, and all this stuff, but I really think you need to focus on that issue because until you focus on adequately sheltering the homeless people, you're not doing jack squat. And I'm sorry to tell you, but you really need to, I think it would actually be wise for some of you all to go up to the armory and get woke up at 5 in the morning and then go to work and see how you feel. On a daily, daily basis, a person cannot function. I'm having hard times functioning myself. So, you know, please stop lying to the public because I really think this is a big lie is what's happening.
I'm speaking on behalf of myself as a homeowner and other homeowners in the community and as an activist in the community.
This is Charlotte Spitzer.
And I feel very badly that the sleeping ban is threatened not to be lifted. I would like to see it lifted. I'd like to see that as a first step towards creating some kind of shelter, real shelter, for homeless people. They're not going to go away. I think that's what the city and the police would like them to do. But they're not going to go away. And I think that in order to set up some kind of area for them to be able to have a place that they can call their own and monitor that place, give them a 6-month trial period and see if they can behave in a way, monitor themselves, set up some kind of, we have so much open space in this community. I can't believe that there can't be a place for people who have no homes. And they can't, not all of them can live in their cars because not all of them even have cars. And I think part of what's threatening homeowners is the fact that they think these people, that the homeless are going to be parked in their driveways and in front of their homes and do all the things that they're accused of doing. If there could be designated places for them to sleep, for them to park their cars, where they would feel safe and where the community wouldn't feel impinged on, I really believe that we can solve this problem. And I hate to say it's us and them. I really do. That really bothers me because I feel we have to be humane, Catherine. I feel so badly about what's going on in this community, and I think that this is supposed to be a friendly community, and I don't see that happening here. I think that instead of spending all the money we spend, and 25% I understand of the budget is going towards policing and ticketing these people, but maybe the money ought to be better spent on things that will be humane and advantageous to these people and setting up a place where they can really feel that they can claim as their own and take care of it. Thank you.
Yes, you said 25% of the budget.
That's what I...
the street fund, yes. That's what I have been told.
By the police?
The police budget. The police budget, I'm sorry, yeah.
That's in the police report.
It's in the police report. This comes from a reliable source.
You got the report, I saw it, and we got to pass it around. I think Siobhan even mentioned the percentage when she read it out loud.
Okay, I guess we know.
Or county by a certain part of the...
We'll do the research and find figure out.
I think the budget is $12.2 million out of $117 million budget right now. That's the whole police budget, if I'm not mistaken.
The police station costs $12 million.
I'd never like to...
100% of time.
Okay, we'll find out. We're gonna do the research on that, yes.
Is there a motion that we struck the word, on anything that you're actually writing here, strike that word homeless out and insert, please, houseless. Okay, because God gave us a home. We always have a home. Everybody's got a home. Well, just some of us have our houses taken away. And some of us choose not to live in standard traditional types of housing. I personally like medicine teepee lodges, okay? That's my perfect architecture, and I've studied architecture. I've had 4 years of architecture. That's my ideal. Some people are ideal boats. Some people, it's their cars, it's their trucks. That's their ideal way of wanting to live. They're nomadic. They don't want to live in a solid brick sort of structure. I think we ought to allow for that conceptual process, that everyone is not just molded and fabricated into living into these little boxes made with ticky-tacky, and they all look the same. We don't think that way anymore. There's so many avenues to pursue, and I believe that what I've seen here anyway is there's a lot of genius in this area. I mean, an extreme amount of genius. The intelligence level is very, very high here. There shouldn't be any problem with us working out some sort of solution that will benefit everyone, because these members that you're talking about here, houseless, want to be inclusive within a community. They don't want to be excluded from a community, and they are a good resource that you can draw upon. A lot of these people are extremely intelligent, like I said. Please, yeah, strike the word homeless from any of the living. Homeless is a denigrating, debilitating, demoralizing sort of term. What you do is you dehumanize a person when you tell them, hey, I got a home, you don't have one. You know, that's really, well, so what, you know? But, it's just one of those tags and labels that we put on things, and it's not a correct terminology. It's an improper terminology, and it's also a rather a malicious form of speaking. So please just change that. That's me.
A lot of hands up. I think Mike and David.
Me?
Oh, right behind you, okay?
Mike has spoken many times before the city council. What I really see this coming down to more and more vividly is that we are in the midst of a catastrophe. With people unable to cover themselves or to sleep during certain hours, if this were to occur after an earthquake, after the earthquake of 1989, or after a severe fire where people were houseless, we would not have these kinds of restrictions imposed upon the community. We would have a governor flying over the area, a vice president and possible president flying over the area to see the devastation. What we can't see flying over now is that devastation, but it exists. When people being out in the cold, unable to cover, unable to shelter themselves. And we have to look at it as a catastrophe and approach it in those terms. If we were to go before, say, the Bosnian Peace Committee in Dayton, Ohio, where it was signed, and even suggest that people could not cover themselves or could not use a sleeping bag or could not sleep during certain hours, it's undoubtedly they would find that it was against every humane action that has ever been passed by any convention. And we have to look at it just in those terms. Thank you.
I'll try to be brief, because I really think the most important thing is for us to hear what you guys are going to do and the words, and be able to actually work out some kind of change to make this law not an anti-homeless law, and to make it a more humane law. I'd like to speak mostly about two things: dignity and criminalization. When you criminalize a class of people, we're the ones that lose the dignity. They feel the threat upon their dignity, but we're the ones that lose the dignity. And we need to reclaim that dignity, and this is your chance, and this is your opportunity to do that. So we have to have solutions on how to do that. And I think you've heard a lot of creative things and a lot of things that can be done, and we can sometime maybe get to the point where we can actually start working on prevention of homelessness, eviction protection, you know. But until we do that, you know, we have to first of all talk about the thing that's easiest thing for you to do, and that's to get the law out of the way of the homeless just existing and sleeping. And so what you have to do is you have to do your charge, and that's abolish the sleeping bag.
You're here.
Yeah.
Stephen Sullivan, I only have one thing to say. It's at the bottom of this memo I gave you. You can read the rest of the memo later. And that's that if the city of Santa Cruz maintains this strict camping law and inadequate services for the purposes of people sleeping at night, that it's allowing for this necessity defense. So the whole law will get struck down. Whereas if the city moves in the direction of providing adequate camping facilities, well, then it shelters itself legally. And then in the meantime, if a committee might be formed at some future point to look into the possibilities, I know it's been done in the past, but times have changed, there may be some possibility of a campsite. And that's all I've got to say.
Okay. I made some notes, which I commend to your attention, which you can look at. It's called The Secret Plan to End the Sleeping Ban. I don't think there is a secret plan to end the sleeping ban. I appreciate Catherine's forthrightness a week ago, or actually more than a week ago, when she said she wasn't in favor of changing the sleeping ban provisions. That means it's okay to keep people criminals at night for sleeping. I mean, it's unfortunately, that's the reality of what she's saying. We hoped and we asked at the last meeting, I asked, she said that this would be up for discussion, at least because I'm sure almost all of us in this room favor, with the exception of perhaps the city council, provisions that repeal the sleeping ban in some parts of the city. If anybody who doesn't favor that, please raise your hand. I'm not aware that anybody favors keeping the sleeping ban uniformly. You know, I'm addressing the entire community, including the city council. Now I'm addressing everyone. How can current law be changed to let homeless people sleep somewhere, not everywhere, not in our backyards, not in our neighborhood parks at night, not downtown in front of the stores, not on the precious beach boardwalk, not in residential neighborhoods, not anywhere, but somewhere in town? How can this be done safely and legally in the current officially declared shelter emergency? This is a simple issue. Put it simply to our community. We don't need a secret plan to end the sleeping ban. We need a public one. This is no easy issue, no walkover. Proponents will have to face hostility and bigotry like that faced by all pioneers who stood up for human rights. The main barrier to this is our local anti-homeless law, the sleeping ban, or the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance, which the police want to keep as a tool. I'm sure that many police officers prefer to suspend search and seizure, nullify Miranda warnings, and eliminate the presumption of innocence. It would facilitate their job in some cases and certainly help to catch some guilty people. But that would be a police state. And there should not be one even for the poor and the homeless. What we asked for was a winter suspension of the sleeping ban and a limited repeal in outlying areas of the city, not of the camping ordinance, but of the sleeping sections only. What we got was no shelter, no advocacy, and no action. What we got was a two-month-long dog and pony show, which has stirred up fear and prejudice in all the wrong quarters and taken no leadership on the basic issue that sleeping is a human right. If you feel bad about this, then you should apologize to people like Frank Cessna and other homeless sleepers whose faces were smashed and are now stitched up in hate crime assaults that have happened in the last few weeks. Some vital members of the public no longer attend these meetings. Cab worker, CPRB member, and homeless advocate Sandy Brown told me earlier today, I would rather spend an hour at the courthouse advising and educating people to use the necessity defense with the ICORN decision than participate in this task force process that seems to be going nowhere.
Some of us are concerned that you are meeting privately with select groups of constituents to assure them that all is well and the restoration of homeless rights are on track. If that is so, then today, we will surely see some clear, unequivocal public advocacy for the right to sleep somewhere. Not just a token lowering of fines or some bone of a bit of additional shelter space or a change in the wording here and there. I believe Mayor Byers, or I did before she spoke to me earlier today, will bring up and thoroughly explain her objections to partial repeal of the sleeping ban. She promised on Monday this would happen today. A number of us here have put in literally thousands of hours on this issue. It is the issue on which most of us agree and want to see action on, and more important than that, because many of us don't agree with Catherine, is the opinion of the two council members who are also on this task force. What is their view about this issue? Crucial issue, they got 3,000 signatures throughout the community. How do you feel about it? How do you stand on it? Do you support it? If you can, I urge you to raise this issue today in terms of that language which was presented and 3,000 people said, do something about it. Would lifting the sleeping ban produce a magnet or mecca effect? Tom Musselwhite of the Homeless Action Coalition in Eugene, who I spoke to 2 hours ago, suggests there was none in Eugene this last year when sleeping is in an industrial zone. Nor did homelessness services lose support. In fact, the opposite occurred. Dr. Alan Reeson, director of the Broward Outreach Center in Hollywood, Florida, I've given you a copy of that if you want to take a look at it, reports similar findings when the courts ruled police could not arrest homeless people without giving them a legal place to go. Janet Riley, attorney with the Board of Directors of Homeless Service Providers in Broward County in Florida, is sending you a letter with identical findings. Arthur Rosenberg, Miami ACLU attorney, reports that the winter population of the homeless there rises a bit, but there has been no special increase since the Pottinger decision 8 years ago, or 7 years ago, forbidding police from arresting homeless people for performing life-sustaining activity. And there's more. And I'm going to stop here because I want other people to have a chance to speak. But I encourage you, please, look over these considerations. I'll get you the phone numbers of these people. If you don't believe me, talk to them. Let us at least hear your debate on why the sleeping ban repeal sections should not be changed without it being happening in a kind of a private circumstance where none of us have any access to it.
But of course, no such debate happened. No council member made a response to that. And the sleeping ban repeal sections were left completely unmentioned. Even though it was the sleeping ban repeal initiative that got so many signatures last year and was the initiative that it was endorsed by all the organizations or many of them that endorsed these council members. By the way, Larry Cessna, not Frank Cessna, I keep getting the name wrong, Larry Cessna was the man who was kicked in the face, had 14 stitches, fractured ribs, and was beaten by trollbusters at night. When he tried to file a complaint, he claimed the police did not take his complaint. When he complained about the police failure, he received a ticket for public intoxication. When the police said the ticket for public intoxication was for a prior incident, and it just happened to show up later, he pointed out that the details of that prior incident, there was simply an ID check, there was no citation at the time, and he was told to go on his way. It's a difficult situation for homeless people who want to get the police force to act even in so elementary a fashion as to deal with violence against homeless people. Well, with that, I think we need a musical break.
Ocean.